Teach me, O Lord, the wise statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for this another day that you have made and allowed me to see. Thank you, dear Lord God, for how you allowed us to live to see another day. But Lord God, we give your name the praise and the glory and the honor. Oh God, that's due unto your holy name. Thank you, Lord God, for all of your manifold blessings. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. For Lord God, you're always faithful. Oh Lord, meeting the needs of your people. And Lord God, as we come before you on today, Father, we magnify your holy name once again. And just give your name the praise, Lord God, that you so rightfully deserve. Thank you, dear Lord God. Hallelujah for your keeping power. You kept us, Lord God, through it all. In spite of all that the enemy plotted against us, and in spite of everything, Lord God, that was against us, Lord God, you kept us through it all. And Lord God, I thank you for your protection right now. You have been a refuge and a fortress, Lord God, to your people. And Lord God, we owe you all of the praise on today. We owe you all of the honor on today. We owe you all of the blessings on today. We owe you all of the thanksgiving on today. And Lord God, we just look to the hills from whence cometh our help, and know that our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Lord God, you are worthy to be praised. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord God, for your ever abiding presence. Lord God, I thank you for your word of promise, wherein you said you would neither leave us nor forsake us, but you would be with us always, even until the end of the world. And Lord God, we can look to you, Lord God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And know, Lord God, that we're going to make it, because with God on our side, how can we not? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, he is more than the world against us. And Lord God, we bless your holy name on today. And Father, as we move forward in your word, I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to the hearts and to the minds of your people. And Lord God, I pray, dear Lord God, that you would encourage, Lord, that you would lift spirits, Lord Jesus, that you would give somebody the mind, Lord God, to want. For truly, dear Lord, we are living in the last days. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus is soon to come. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord God, that someone would hear your word and in order, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you all. Amen. Just thanking God, amen, for just another day that he has made, another day that we can rejoice and truly be glad in him. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. Glory to God. And we can search the whole world over, and I believe that we can all come to the same conclusion. Amen. That we will never find anybody like the Lord. Amen. I thank and praise God. Amen. For all of you who are in attendance, I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just thankful and grateful. Amen. For life, health, and strength. And I praise God that I can truly say that I'm blessed above and beyond measure. And you can say the same thing. Praise God. Amen. Because you're here right now by the mercies of the Lord. At that, we're going to move on into the lesson or the message for today. And today we're going to talk about a one-letter word subject. And that subject is peace. Amen. We're going to talk about peace. Amen. On today. There is a saying that the best things in life are free. And this is a proverb which suggests that the most valuable things do not cost any money. But since we live in a material world, there are some people who are materialistic that would beg to differ. Some believe that the best things in life are what money can buy, and the more something costs, the more valuable it is. For this cause, there are people to be well off so they can acquire what is considered to be the best things. Certain classes in our society dictates that living in luxury will give you true happiness. They were showing some TV shows, that aired on television, such as the lifestyles of the rich and famous, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and Billions, which promote wealth and power. And some viewers begin to covet this kind of lifestyle and entertain in their minds how they can achieve it. The fact is, you may acquire all of these things that you desire in life, but it does not bring true happiness. If so, there would be no rich and famous people contemplating or committing suicide. If they have everything and in want for nothing, there should be no cases of depression or people taking anti-depression medication in their circle. Money does not answer in all things when it comes to the total man. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life things which he possesseth." This is to say that our happiness and comfort do not depend upon our having a great deal of the world's wealth. The things that are of the world cannot fill every void. They cannot supply all of our needs or satisfy all of our desires, nor will they last because they are temporal. There are things that money cannot buy. And to that point, there are gifts and benefits God has afforded every believer. And what God gave to us is of greater value, in so much that you cannot put a price tag on it. God's gifts are priceless and should be esteemed above anything that we possess. Salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, is priceless. The gift of eternal life is priceless. The gift of the Holy Ghost, which is His ever-abiding presence, is priceless. The most wonderful thing is that we do not have to pay one then dime for these precious gifts, because Jesus paid it all. Romans 8 verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The prophet Isaiah spoke of the everlasting salvation in chapter 55 and 1, saying, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come. This is a free and gracious invitation for all to come and partake of the benefit of the gospel of grace. Whosoever will, let him come. Salvation is free. Eternal life is free. The Holy Ghost is a free gift. Come to Jesus, for he is the fountain that will never run dry, and he will satisfy all of your needs. All you have to do is come. While we are on earth, it is very important that we understand that what the Lord has to offer is of greater value. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3 and 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are eternal. So everything pertaining to the material world will fade away, but the gifts of God and the blessings of the Lord will last forever. Everything that is of the world has an expiration date, but there is no expiration date on eternal life. Having said this, the best things to have is what the Lord has freely given to you, and they are worth more than money can buy. And one of the things that money cannot buy is peace. We find that there are people who don't know what it is to have peace of mind. Even among those who have a great deal of possessions, there are some who live in misery. They might live exorbitant lifestyles, yet they are discontented, fretful, and have no comfort. But peace of mind is a benefit that comes along with serving God. In light of the current state of affairs, we need the peace that only God can give us. The enemy would have us to unravel and fall apart. But this message comes to encourage you and to let you know that the Lord will help you to hold it together. Or in other words, to keep your mind at ease. The scripture says in Psalms 29 verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people, bless his people with peace. First and foremost, peace is a blessing of inestimable value, and nothing can take the place of peace. Having peace of mind means that you are free from torment, even when there is a whirlwind of trouble all around you. Seemingly every day we arise to some form of distressing news. The world is headed towards irreversible ruin, and the people who are of the world do not know that they are in imminent danger, neither do they care. And sometimes it is easy for the saints of God to get distracted or preoccupied with the foolishness of man. I cannot speak for you, but it has become downright intolerable at times, having to witness unethical and nonsensical conduct of people in government. My heart breaks every day upon hearing of senseless acts of violence that is sweeping across the land. The insanity of humanity is on an all-time high. But this is when we need to direct our attention towards God. The scripture reads in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him and when you trust him despite what you see. Those who put their trust in the Lord are not easily shaken. Storms may rise, winds may blow, there may be civil disturbances in the land, but when you know who is in control, none of these things will move you. As the scripture says, for God is the king over all the earth. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. A day of reckoning is coming, and the Lord will set all things in order. He will do what he does best, but as for the saints of God, he wants us to rest in him and be at peace. There is a such thing as reaching a place of tranquility in God, where you are untroubled by conflicts, free from fear and oppression, and safe and secure from all alarms. Why? Because you are in the Master's arms. Life is full of ups and downs and ebbs and flows, like the waves and currents of the sea. But the same Jesus that has the power to calm the raging sea can speak peace over your life. In the Synoptic Gospels, all three writers recorded an incident that took place after Jesus and the disciples boarded a ship en route to the country of the Gadarenes. In Mark's account, starting at chapter 4, verse 37, the scripture reads, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Or as it says in Matthew's account, the ship was covered with waves. And where was Jesus? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. The scripture says, "And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" The disciples were confounded when they learned that Jesus was tranquil and unafraid, while they were in panic mode and feared for their lives. In the midst of all the commotion, Jesus was resting in the Father, and he had gave them to know that he and the Father were one. So if God wasn't moved, then why should Jesus be moved? And this goes to show that when you have a connection with God, there is no need to fear, because the Lord has got you covered. Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4 declares, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Sometimes storms can come without warning. Sometimes we're faced with sudden calamity, but we can rest assured, trusting in his holy word that gives us to know that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. A songwriter wrote, "Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, whenever songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me." The disciples were perplexed. when they found Jesus sleeping while there was a tempest and raging sea. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Or in other words, "Aren't you concerned that we might die?" But Jesus was in full control of the situation. Mark chapter 4, 39 says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Jesus said to the disciples in verse 40, "Why are ye fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" The disciples of all people should have reconciled that Jesus was no ordinary man and that he had power with God. Since the time that they began to follow Jesus, they had witnessed his miracles and they saw, you know, his power operating through signs and wonders. And so now here they are timid and afraid because of a threatening storm instead of trusting in his divine power to de-escalate the situation. And likewise, as modern day disciples, the Lord has proved himself to us. And like the disciples in the days of old, we have seen some signs and wonders and miracles. Many of us have witnessed his supernatural delivering power that redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And so now that we find ourselves in times of uncertainty, why are ye so fearful? Everything around us is unsettled and falling apart at the seams. But what are you afraid of? Jesus is your Savior. And as he said in John chapter 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Some of you who are listening might be going through some trying times, and your current situation might be like the troubled sea, which cannot rest. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus has the power to silence the threatening noise. He has the power to call all matters to peace and bring a great calm in your life. Jesus also asked the disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, "How is it that ye have no faith?" Consider with me that the presence of his divine power is with the saints. He declared in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Jesus also said in the book of John chapter 14 and 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works," he said, "greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." We have been given a badge of authority to use the name of Jesus and to do the same works that he did. Just as Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea, we have the power to rebuke everything that comes to trouble us. When the storms of life are raging and you say that you have faith in God, then speak to the storm and say, "Peace, be still." If there is trouble in your household or you are troubled in your mind, by the power that has been invested and you rebuke it. Rebuke fear, worry, and doubt. Rebuke oppression, depression, and every entity that is warring against you. Peace be still. The Lord promised his children peace. And when you are able to rest in God, no matter what is going on around you, this is a sign that you have laid hold to the promises of God. On the other hand, the wicked can never be at rest because you cannot live or be at peace without the Prince of Peace in your life. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled seas when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked." The wicked in this world are responsible for creating unsettling circumstances. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 tells us that God is not the author of confusion, but peace. But of peace. As in the churches of all saints. In contrast, the wicked are the gods, little g, of chaos. And they will never be at rest until they succeed at bringing misery upon all. The message today comes to encourage the saints of God in saying this: don't be agitated by all of the commotion. Don't allow what the wicked is doing to affect your state of mind or to disturb your peace. Psalm 91 verse 1 reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." People of God, find that secret place in God and abide there. Because in the place where God is the place that you want to be. In the place where God is, there's peace. And the world's chaos and confusion is unable to affect you. Praise God. Hallelujah. In closing, I will read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 in your hearing. The scripture reads, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, I pray that it guard your heart and mind. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. And amen.